Now, we haven't done anything on doctrine for quite a while, so we're going to cover some difficult scriptures. And what we're going to do is follow the way that the Bible shows us we should approach it. Okay? Now then, I know this is a big, heavy Bible. I understand it. Many people have said, well, why don't you put the commentary and the appendices in a separate volume and the Bible in a separate volume? Well, the answer is because unless you read and study the commentaries and the appendices, you will not understand why the Bible is the way that it is and how it is translated. Now, we're going to see. So you can just make a note of this. The very first appendix, Appendix A, is 14 rules for Bible study. And the reason that that is there is to help everyone know how to study the Bible. Now, I've met a lot of Protestants. The first thing that they quote is Galatians, or they go to Acts 15. So we're going to look at Acts 15 today and find out what does it really say. Okay? So let's turn there. And let's see that this was one of the great problems with the beginning of the New Testament church. And here indeed, Acts 15 is a very difficult set of scriptures to understand. And it also helps answer the question, why do the Protestants say that we don't have to keep anything in the Old Testament? They say the law is done away. Then they come along and say that Jesus fulfilled the law. So if he fulfilled it, there's nothing for us to do. So all you have to do is believe in Jesus. All right? So Acts 15, let's pick it up here in verse 1, and let's see what the problem is. Because this is one of the first places that people who get interested in the Bible go to. Now also remember this, a little sidebar. The carnal mind is what? Enmity against what? The law of God, and is not subject to it, neither indeed can it be. Okay? So that adds fuel to the fire of getting rid of the Old Testament. So they come here to Acts, the 15th chapter, verse 1. Now certain men who had come down from Judea were teaching the brethren, saying, unless you are circumcised after the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, the Greek, therefore, cannot means the impossibility of being saved. Therefore, after a great deal of strife and arguing with them by Paul and Barnabas, and of course, those are where the arguments come from, right? The brethren appointed Paul and Barnabas and certain others from among them to go up to the apostles and elders in Jerusalem about this question. So then, after being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, where they reported the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. Now, verse 4 is a summary verse of what the whole chapter is about. Okay? But notice verse 5. But there stood up certain of those who believed, who were of the sect of the Pharisees, saying, it is obligatory to circumcise them, that is in the flesh, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So then, they come over here, and let's read it, okay? Right in the same chapter, okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 19. Therefore, my judgment is that we do not trouble those of the Gentile who have turned to God, but that we write to them to abstain from pollution of idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. So they say, well, that's all they required of the Gentiles. Is that true? How do we know? How can we understand? Well, we have got to put all the scriptures together. Okay? So let's start with just a few of them. Let's come to Matthew, the fourth chapter. And as we're turning to Matthew, the fourth chapter, they also turn to the one that says Jesus is the end of the law, which shows that Jesus ended the law. No one has to keep anything anymore. Okay, we'll also cover that a little later. Now, one of the rules of Bible study is this. Begin with the simple to understand scriptures. Don't go to the difficult ones and try and understand that first. See? So you start with what you know. You start with what you can understand. So how do you handle things like we just read when you first come across them? If you have a question, you file it away. And there have been things that I have filed away as I was reading through when I was first learning that raised flags in my mind about what does it really mean. And this is why. Now, let me just say right here. We have in the Bible Appendix Z. And I had one man the other day send me an email and say, how can we find out where the Bible has been mistranslated into King James? So I wrote him back. I said, in the Faithful Version. And you might start with Appendix Z. Now, that's a long appendix because that covers all of Paul's difficult scriptures to understand. Now, Matthew 4, Jesus goes out into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, and then came the tempter. Now, when you fast, what is that called? Afflicting your soul, humbling yourself. Okay? Now keep in mind, humble. Now verse 3. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now you would have a benefit if you did it and you had the power to do it, correct? And just think how tempting that would be. Okay? Also, it shows that Satan likes to tempt you when you are the weakest, and Jesus was the weakest in the flesh that he could be. Now hold your place right here and come to Deuteronomy 14. Because what you want to do when you're studying these things is you want to get the context. So in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, not Deuteronomy 14, beg your pardon, Deuteronomy 8, okay? And let's see where this was quoted. And let's see what is associated with this command that we will read in the next verse in Matthew when we get back there. Okay, Deuteronomy 8. Notice, all the commandments which I command you this day, you shall be diligent to observe that you may live and multiply and go on and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, and you shall remember all the way which the Lord led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you. 40 years for Israel. 40 days for Jesus. To humble him. Okay? Verse 3. Oh, no. Continuing on to 40 years. In order to humble you, to prove you. Now, that's why we have difficult scriptures, to prove, do you want the word of God or no? Okay? To know what is in your heart. Isn't that what God wants us to know? Are we not, as we will see a little later, to become perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect? Know what is in your heart. Now, notice the context in which it is given. Whether you will keep his commandments or not. So commandment keeping is involved in it. And he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and then fed you with manna, which you did not know, neither did your fathers know it, so that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God does man live. Isn't that interesting? They ate bread from heaven every day for 40 years. Question. How do we understand the Word of God? Well, with the Spirit of God. Where does that come from? That comes from God the Father and Jesus Christ who are in heaven. Okay? And so, to understand the Word of God, we need God's help to tell us what to do, okay? So that's the first lesson, all right? Now let's come back here to Matthew, the fourth chapter. Verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written. He went to the Word of God. Now, we need to put a little caveat in here for you to think about. How many have the book, Judaism, a revelation of God or a religion of men? Okay. Now, I'm not going to ask how many have read it. But it's important that you read it. And I will tell you why a little later on. Okay. All right. Verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man. Now, he's talking about God's requirement for every man, and he was God manifested in the flesh, a human being, a man, so he was applying that to himself, but also for everyone who's going to follow him, okay? Man shall not live by bread alone, okay? That's interesting. Here's where knowing some of the original language helps, okay? The sentence starts out not in the Greek. And the Greek is, the word for not is ouk, which means the impossibility of living by bread alone. See? Well, you can extend your physical life. So what did Christ come to offer? Eternal life. So now, the word of God is layered. Physical life, eternal life. We have physical life so we can learn how to overcome and change and prepare for eternal life. And how do we do that? By every word of God. See? Notice, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's very interesting there, isn't it? Okay? In the Greek, it means proceeds out through the mouth of God. Now, let's ask a question which we will answer a little later. Is there any law in the Bible, in the first five books of the law, which is called the Pentateuch, where Moses originated a single command himself? No, God told him, right? The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel. It's all through those five books of the Bible. Okay? Now then, let's go forward from here. Let's look at something that is very important for us to realize concerning the Pharisees. also found in the book of Matthew. Let's come to Matthew 23. Now, here's one of those verses that is not translated correctly in the King James Version. And this is why, also, you need to understand about the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there were judges. When there was a problem, they were to come to the judge. And the judge was to make decisions based on the Word of God, because we have all the statutes and the judgments that are given in the book of the law. What to do in case of murder, what to do in case of thievery, what to do in case of animal goring, etc. All of those are there. Now, all of the judges were obliged to follow the Word of God. And all of those who had a judgment given were obliged to follow the judgment that was given out of the Scriptures. So let's pick it up here, Matthew 23 and verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, and this is also a semi-difficult scripture to understand, because some people say, well, then whatever the Pharisees did, we are also to do, because they don't understand how this really is. Here is the correct translation, and you need to read it carefully, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have sat down on Moses' seat as judges. Now, Moses' seat was where the rabbi would sit when he was to make a judgment based upon the Word of God. They had a Moses seat in every synagogue, okay? And he was to read only the Scriptures. That's important to understand. Verse 3, therefore every judgment, now just stop right here. The word judgment in the Greek means judgment. So that is why, in order to clarify what's going on, I put as judges in italics, so you would know what is going on. Therefore, every judgment that they tell you to observe, observe and do. Now, all of those judgments had to be based on the Word of God. Now, we will see next, they had traditions. And traditions is what caused most of the problems in the New Testament. Okay? So Jesus continues, but do not do according to their works. What are their works? The works of their traditions, correct? Yes. So he's saying here, don't do their traditions. For they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of men, but they will not move them with one of their own fingers. All right? Hold your place here, because we'll come back to Matthew 23. Now let's come to Mark, the 7th chapter, just a few pages over, not too many. Mark 7. Now, here's another difficult scripture. I'll just summarize it. This has nothing to do with clean or unclean meats. It has to do with clean or unclean hands before you eat. And so the Pharisees, again, the Pharisees, I want you to be alert to that. Verse 3. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, verse 3, Mark 7, holding fast to the traditions of the elders. Tradition. All right. Now, as we go along here, we are going to find that the Jews put their traditions ahead of the Word of God. Now, today, the Catholics do the same thing. The Protestants do the same thing. And they say they're obeying God. Now, Just last night, I'm glad we had a good rain out on Halloween. Our doorbell did not ring one time. All those out there doing that think they are doing the will of God because the church says it's okay to do. But it's a teaching of men and it's a teaching of tradition. That's why we have the book called Holidays, God's Holy Days, which, and as I've mentioned before, some people when they first see the skull there, they think, oh, the book has occultism in it. And what you, if that happens to you, what you need to do is say, well, no. This just simply is on the cover just showing two very simple things. The way of man is death, and the way of God is life. That's the message for the cover, see? Okay. Now, let's come back here to Mark the 7th chapter. And we just read that they wash their hands thoroughly before eating when they come from the marketplace and so forth. Okay, verse 4. And when coming from the market, they do not eat unless they first wash themselves. Now, what if you're hungry on the way home? There have been a couple of times I've gone over to Costco to get some things. And I remember getting some hot dogs. Now, we get turkey dogs to feed our dogs instead of getting canned dog food to feed the dogs, and they live a long time, and they're healthy because they're eating good food rather than the leftover garbage that they put in the cans or the dry dog food. Now, back to this. And there are many other things that they have received to observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and brass utensils and tables. For this reason, the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, saying, and I wonder how they said this, why don't your disciples walk according to the tradition of the elders? Bad boys transgressing the elders. But eat bread with unwashed hands. My, what a high crime that was. You might get a speck of dirt in your food. Okay. But anyway, when I come back from Costco, I'd be hungry. And so I just open up the plastic from the hot dogs, and I'd eat a hot dog or two on the way home. And I took my dirty hand from the steering wheel to do that. See? And one time, I had to wash the steering wheel because I got it dirty from the food. Okay. All right, verse 6. And he answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy concerning you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Important. God is interested in the heart, not just the profession. See? Now notice verse 7 because this becomes of paramount importance and answers the question, can you worship the God of truth with the traditions of men? The answer is no. That's why God has given his word. See? Verse 7, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Now, how do they do that to make it sound authoritative? The same way they do with the traditions of Catholicism, Judaism, and Protestantism today. Okay? Verse 8, for leaving the commandments of God. Now, we're going to see that in just a minute so we can make a very important point. You hold the tradition of men, such as the washing of pots and cups, and you practice many other things like this. Then he said to them, mark this verse carefully. Full well do you reject the commandment of God so that you may observe your own tradition. Verse 10, for Moses said. Now remember Acts 15, we're talking about Moses and circumcision, right? And what they told the Gentiles, correct? So here is Moses, Which Moses did Jesus quote? Now, that may sound like a strange question. The reason is because the Jews call their traditions the law of Moses. See? That's why you need to read the book, Judaism. Very important. I'm going to read a couple things here out of the Code of Jewish Law, which they say is the law of Moses. Okay? Full well do you reject the commandment of God so that you may observe your own tradition, for Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and the one who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, whatever benefit you might receive from me is Corban. Oh, I'm self-righteous. I've given this to the temple as a donation. And I don't have anything to give you. That is, set aside is a gift to God. He is not obligated to help his parents. And you excuse him from doing anything for his father or his mother, nullifying the authority of the word of God by your tradition. I remember that. No teaching of man can supplant any teaching of God, period. Everything that Moses gave was the word of God. So let's go on. We'll answer this question. Okay? Nullifying the authority of the word of God by your tradition, which you have passed down, and you practice many traditions such as this. All right. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back and pick it up from here.